Last time we began discussing the sugya of Es Taguf, and we'll just continue where we left off. The Mechaber in Seif Kaf Aleph writes as follows: Pia Kabarosh Chodesh, Virasa V'Chazer Pia Kabasochi Mea Chodesh. So a woman experiences a Es Taguf on Rosh Chodesh, and then she experiences the same Es Taguf for the same sign a different day of the month. Choshesh is also piyuk, so you have to be concerned about that yawn as a possible precursor to a riya. Yasir l'shamish ashe tivduk. Shekol vest, bein shel yamim, bein shel aguf, choshesh is lo b'pamachas. So even before it becomes a vest kavua, your choshesh is for this as a vest she'eno kavua. V'yeshtalko shema tikva vest l'piyuk v'lo zman yadua. So if it's not tied to a day, then you have to be concerned about that potential of Es Taguf, even independent of any specific day. And if at the later time when she experiences that Es Taguf, she does have a dika, and there's no ri'ya, and chashash is all the pia greda. So it was a Es she'eino kavua, easy come, easy go. Once you don't experience a connection between the pia and the ri'ya, then you don't have to be chashash anymore. But she still has the potential of Vesta Chodesh, Shena Kavua, to contend with, and that's still on the books until you're Oker that as well. So the Tazir in Sivkat the Lamaches raises the following question on this psak of the Mechaber. Kasha, Ha'isa B'simen Zeh Sifdalid, V'imlo Kavaso Gimel Pa'amim V'lo Bad Kabbala Rasa, Kevin She'avra Onasa Mutaras. So we established right at the beginning of the Siman that when it comes to Ves She'ena Kavua, even though there's a Din L'Chachila, you require Bedika. If the onus of Ves passed and the woman did not perform a Bedika, it's Nama Akev, she's Mutaris L'Baila. And what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a Ves Taguf She'ena Kavua. And the Mechaber says, Asur L'Shamesh Ad She'tivduk. Even if she didn't do the Bedika on that day when she experienced a Ves Taguf, she remains Asur L'Baila until such time that she does a bedika. So how is that, why is this any worse than a standard Ves She'eino Kavua, where a bedika is not necessary lahatira labaila after the onas a vest? That's the issue the Taz raises. Ein lomar, tahasam di eved v'achala chachila. And don't say that there the Mechaber is talking about the eved, and here we're talking about lichachila, need to do bedika, but if you didn't, she's still mutaris labaila. The Hasam Beves Kavua Amar Bereisha Asur L'Shamish Ashitivduk Mamish. I lish the dachas. The same exact language. Afil Hachi Amar Hasam Beena Kavu Mataris Mashma Afil Chachila. So it's the same lashon. And there we're talking about the fact that she's Mutaris Labaila if she didn't do a bedika. And the same thing. It's the same lashon over here. Says the Taz Venira Dekan Bepiyo Garatve. No, there actually is a fundamental difference between a standard vest, a vest afloga, a vest achodesh, where if it's Eino Kavua, Bedika's not Ma'akev Bimatra Labaila. Here this is worse. Kevin Shedera Chateva Hu Beisha Lefahek Bishas Riasa O Samachlo Havareyasa Lefaneinu Shitimea. So the connection between a physical sign and a re'iyah is a stronger connection than that between a date or that between a haflaga and the re'iyah. If you have a date where you expect to see a dam, there's no fundamental connection between the date and the re'iyah, meaning there's a date where you have a tendency to have a re'iyah, but there's no physical manifestation as a precursor to the ri'ya. Here you have a physical manifestation as a precursor to the ri'ya, so that creates a stronger reyasa. There's something tangible, almost, that you can pin yourself on, and that creates a stronger reyasa. Yalkein chamer tvei mishar veth she'eino kavua. That's why over here, even if the onus of veth passed, so long as the woman did not do a bedika, she remains asura labaila. So says the Taz over here, an explanation of the psak of the Mechaber. Look at the shach of the Nukudas HaKasef. the Shach isn't bothered by the premise of the Taz's question. Lo kashemidi. The hacha vada ef shalomer shetachosh el ad shetefahik. So what is the nature of a Vesta Guf? The Vesta Guf means that there is a physical manifestation, and that physical manifestation is what triggers a chashash. Lekach amar v'asur l'shamesh ad shetivdok. Kolomar b'samach achrapiyok asur l'shamesh. So all the Mechaber is talking about here says the Shach limits the application. It means during that onus of est, that at that time she's a surah l'shamish until you do a bidika. But if a significant amount of time passes after the vestaguf and there's no subsequent ri'ya, then she's mudaris l'bayla. So the only difference is that when it comes to a standard onus aves, be it a vest to go, be it a vest of laga, there's a defined window of time which is the onus aves. And then once that onus aves passes, if she didn't do bedika, she's mutaris labaila. So theoretically, you could have, there's a break of an hour between the end of the onus aves where she didn't do bedika. And then the point at which he's automatically mitaris l'bayla. When it comes to Vesta Guf, we'll talk about this in a little while in terms of the window of time in which you're choshesh for Vesta Guf, but because there's a certain expectation that within a certain amount of time after the Vesta Guf, there'll be a re'ia, so then it's not necessarily dependent on the actual end of that ona. I mean, if a person establishes a Vesta Guf, or she experiences rather a Vesta Guf an hour before Shkia, so then she's not going to be mutaris l'bayla below bedika the minute after seis. You may have to wait a few hours. But the Shach says, once that reasonable window of time where within which you might expect to have a re'ia after the Vesta Guf passes, then there's no chiyuv for bedika, and that's all the Mechaber meant. He didn't mean asur l'shamesh l'olam ad she'tivdok. It just means asur l'shamesh in the immediate aftermath of the onus of the Vesta Guf, until you do a bedika. Okay. So that is the Machlokas Taz and Shach over here. How literally do you take the Mechaber? Is Vesta Guf fundamentally different than other Vestas in that there's going to be a Chiyuv bedika even for Vesta Eino Kavua Likuva after the vest passes, as the Taz says, or the Shach says, no, it's not really any different. There's no chiyuv bedika liikuva after the vest has passed, just the window may be different, as we will see. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav just points out in his presentation of this machlokes. Here we go. So he quotes the Shach of the Taz. Then he says, Sivkot and Pechas. He quotes the Nekuda Sakasef, and he's noted to accept the Nekuda Sakasef lahalacha that there's no requirement of bedika liikuva. And he says that's actually Mefurash in the Ravid in the Bali Nefesh. Sorry, I thought I had the line of the Ravid to read to you. I don't see it right now. It's in the Shubi and Simon Gimel towards the end. But it's not where I thought it was. I don't see the second. Okay, but you can take a look. The Shulchan Aruch Rav quotes this from the Ravid. The Aruch HaShulchan, so he concludes as follows. Again, he quotes the Taz, he quotes the Shach, and he writes, "When Ma'isa Tzarech Ian came in the Achronim, Iskimu Lahachmir, Vekasu Dizo Hargasha Dida." But even though he thinks that in principle the Shach is correct, but he quotes other later Achronim that are Machmir like the Taz, so he thinks that there is some grounds to be Choshish for the Taz. It seems like among the later Achronim, some fall in the Taz camp, some fall in the Shach camp. Yeah. Yossi, do you want to say something? Okay. One second. Baal HaShulchan thinks that it's better to be machmir if you can to do bedika before be matir labayla. Okay, so let's move on now to Sif Kaf Gimel. Kol elu avestos shenikbaim ayde mikra ein echad kaveim chaveiro ela kol shepiach hashalosh b'am v'rasa kav avest. This is based on a Rashba and a Magen Mishnah that different Vestos Haguf cannot combine to create a Vest Haguf Kavua. A Lashon of the Magen Mishnah in the beginning of Paraches Isurei Bia is as follows. This is the Magen Mishnah on the Rambam that we discussed last time. The way the Magen Mishnah understands, simply reading the Rambam only gives credence to a Vest HaGuf where it's in combination with a Vest Liyamim. So even though we don't accept that part of the Rambam, but the Magen Mishnah in that same piece quotes the following. The Kasvuheim She'ein Echad Mimikrim Elu Koveya Vest L'Chaveiro She'im Piyaka V'rasa V'nis'atcha V'rasa Eino Kavas Vest. So if you have various manifestations of a Vest HaGuf, so they don't combine to create a Kvias, you need three of the same manifestations in order to create a Kvias. That's the basis of this Psak and Mechaber here in Sif Kaf Gimel. And the Mechaber does not make any reference to a Vest L'Achilos, which the Ramah talks about over here. And we'll have to discuss why. So back to the Gemara on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So you'll recall that the Mishnah on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph had a long list of various flavors of the Vest HaGuf. And then the Mishnah has the term V'chein Kayotze Behen. And the Gemara on Amud Beis tells you other things that are included in the V'chein Kayotze Behen that aren't enumerated in the Mishnah. And then the Gemara has El Amar Baye La Suye. What's that? V'chein Kol Chayotzei Behen coming to include? Achla Shum Virasa. The woman ate garlic and then had a Re'ia subsequent eating the garlic. Achla Bitzalim Virasa. She ate onions and had a Re'ia. Kisses of Pilpulim. She chews on pepper, eats pepper in a abnormal fashion. Virasa. So that creates a vest lachilos, or is the Rishonim say a vest lachilos of Dvarim Charifin. These are sharp things, and there's some connection between eating these sharp foods and experiencing a re'ia. Testosis over here. Dibra Maskel Achol Shem Verasa. Ho il v'ayide maisa heim. Eino v'eskomor v'lo hava b'chal dimas nisen. So the reason it's not included on the Mishnah's list is because these are things that somehow induce the Riyah, as opposed to the manifestations of Avesta Guf that we saw in the Mishnah, which are all symptoms of an impending Riyah. These are things, these Achilos may induce a Riyah, more akin to the Vesta Kvitzos, that kind of Avesta Onus. Yim Tomar, Amayla Kamar Nami Kasa Verasa. That's true. If you're talking about something that induces a vest, so isn't that analogous to a vest lekvitzos, where the physical actions induce the Riyah? So if we're including that kind of a vesta onus in our Mishnah, then why doesn't the Gemara say lasuya that? We only were introduced to a vest lekvitzos and daf yud aleph, but it doesn't come up in the Gemara here. You'd expect to see it here. If we're already bringing in a vest lechilos, which sounds like the same kind of a vesta onus as a vest lechvitzos, it's something external that induces the re'iyah. So v'mtomar v'maylok amr nami kasa v'rasa v'vinami ayde maisa v'yesh lomar de'enu kavas vest lechvitzos lechudayu v'darim perakama v'kosh edekbe'enu amachmas ones afilu kama pamim lo kava. So Tosus is of the opinion earlier that you can only be kaveh veslekvitzos if it's bitsiruf with a vesleyamim. A veslekvitzos doesn't stand on its own. It's only significant if it's a hybrid together with the vesleyamim. If it's morkav with a vesleyamim. Avol achla shum lo chashiv ones kimo torah shel kvitza she'ena ri'iya ba al yidei torah el memela. So what Tosus sounds like he's saying is that when it comes to Vesta Kvitzos, there's a certain more extreme physical exertion that precipitates the Re'iyah. As opposed to the Vesta Lachilos, where you're not exerting the same kind of energy. So it's not the, it can't be that the achila itself is a totally outside goreim to the re'iyah. Maybe there's some kind of other factor involved that contributes to the re'iyah. So when it comes to a ves l'kvitzos, when it comes to Vesta Kvitzos, so there the exertion plays a role. How exactly does that work? What's Tosus saying to distinguish between a Vesta Kvitzos and a Vesta Achila? So let's take a look at the Meiri that has a little bit of a more expanded formulation of this, and maybe that'll shed some light on the Kavana of Tosus. The Meiri is here on Samach Gimel Amud Beis. The Meiri himself is of the opinion of other Rishonim that we'll talk about in a few moments, that a Vesta Chilos is actually just like a Vesta Kvitzos, and you can't establish a Vesta Chilos below Yamin either. But in explaining the position of Tosos, the Meiri writes as follows. Gedolei Doros Machriim Beineihem Lahafrish Ben kafitzos v'domayan la'achilas shem batzel v'lomar. Excuse me. Shakvitzos ein kovos ela b'tzirus man kedas rishon. So the reason that kvitzos are only significant if they're combined with a ves liyamim. V'nei shahadam ba ayidei akvitza legamri. So the dam comes totally because of the kvitza. The ein zegrama ela maisa gomor. So the physical action of kvitsa, what Tosus referred to as that which comes ayidei torach, that actually causes the ri'iya. Umosifin ba'od shumaisa hagorim la ayidei shinoi. And they explain that this is a maisa that precipitates the ri'iya because of the shinoi involved. That it's not part of the normal physical actions of a woman. K'mash amr tasefta ezu ones chalsa o kafsa o hikos abayla o nasa masikove ezu ones. So tasefta has other examples of ones. A woman got sick, a woman was beaten up, or she carried a heavy load. That's an ones. So these are things that are beyond the realm of natural activity. And they cause the ri'iyah. Aval chila shema batzal she'ena dam ba'ayado legamri. If you eat varm charifim, that is not the only ingredient in precipitating a ri'iyah. Alashu goreim lavo. It causes it to come. It's a ingredient, but it's not the total cause. The chain she osa osa midaita ulatavasa ain the onus. And furthermore, she does it of her own volition and litavasa. That's not an onus. The kavalaves, the chosmanachilasam, below her kavas yom kavua. Elish imit chilas kvias, korkav kvias, liamu kvitsas vade in a vest, elvishnaim. Okay, but you could have a vest morkav, but a vest morkav is not necessary in order to create a veth le kvitzos. So what Tosa sounds like he's saying is that, and the Iri expands this a little bit to, I think, clarify a little, is that if you have something that is not a normal activity of a woman, not a normal precipitator of ri'iyah, so then you wouldn't necessarily associate that activity with a ri'iyah on its own. If it happens that the woman is kofesis and then roa, so because that's something ayidei torach that precipitated the ri'iya, you don't necessarily expect that to happen every time. And maybe that's just happenstance. So that's why you need another factor of yamim in order to be concerned about a vest l'kvitzos. But if you have a vest ayidei chilos, so eating something, the Miri has two things. I'm not sure how to evaluate the relative significance of both of them. But the one end is something that is a partial precipitator of the Ri'iya. And number two, he writes, Litavasa. The Lashon was... Midaita litavasa. It's something that she does knowingly and litavasa. I'm not sure how those two factors interplay, but somehow the fact that the achila on some level does precipitate the ri'iyah gives it more significance in that we could consider a vessel chilos alone is being significant, even if it's not morkav miyamin. That's the position of Tosos, as the Meiri embellishes on a little bit over here, that you can have a vessel chilos independent of a vest liyamin. And that's the position of Balamor as well, in Simon Gimel Os Yutas in his Hasagos. The Balamor has that line of Midaita Ulatavasa. that the achilos that a woman engages in are midaito letavas as opposed to kvitzas. I saw in the Masifta Gemara, he just points out, they point out that what difference does it make if it's midaito letavasa? That's the first distinction that Tosfos draws, the Meiri expands on, that we understand there's a difference between where the entire goreim is this external gymnastics which totally causes a riya, as opposed to achila, where there's a combination of factors and the achila may be partially the goreim for the riya, but not the full goreim for the riya. But where does tavasa and daita fit in? So the footnotes of the Masechta Gemara suggests maybe the Baal Mor is just saying that to explain why you can't include a vesla chilos in the category vesta ones, because they're different in that sense. But definitionally, you can't call that an ones if it's not the ones, if it's something that a woman does regularly. She eats willingly. She eats the food of her own volition. But the real chiluk is the original chiluk of Tosfos between a kvitzos that totally caused the ria in a way that wouldn't have happened otherwise, and a chila where it's a contributing factor but not necessarily the only factor. Okay, so that's Tosfos and the Baal HaMor, that when it comes to a vest achilos exists independent of a vest liyamim. But then many other Rishonim disagree. The Ramban in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis holds that you could be. The Ramban is like Tosfos in that you can be kovas a vest lachilas b'lo yomim, even though he disagrees about a vest. He holds away about a vest lekvitzos as well. So the Ramban disagrees with Tosfos by vest lekvitzos. And he also said you can have a vesel kvitzos below yamim also. So this is no worse than a vesel kvitzos. But the Ravid, Simon Gimel Os Kavzayin, and the Rabbi Buchholz edition, the Rashba, the Meiri in his conclusion, they all hold that just like you can't have a vesel kvitzos without yamim, you can't have a vest li achilos below yamim. So that's what the Gaon points out over here in Sifkatan. In Sifkata and Lamed Dalid, that those we shown him and the Mechaber Lahalacha, who makes no mention of a Vesel Achila, so they assume, like this Ravid and that camp, that a Vesel Achila has no independent identity without a Vesel Yamim. So that's just subsumed under the standard Vesta Ones that we discussed previously. And that's why the Mechaber makes no mention. However, the Ramah does. The Ramah Paskins over here, Achla Shum Virasa, Achla Batzel Virasa, Achla Pilpuklin Virasa, Yesh Omim Shekavala Vest Liros Ayide Kolachilas Varim Chamim. So he quotes Yesh Omim that if you experience three different Achilos Tvarim Charifim or Chamim followed by Ria, that creates a Vest Lachilos Kabua. Then he quotes the second Dain Rishonim that it's the same as the Vesla Kvitzos, and you can be Kaveya Vesla Chilos alone without a Harkava with the Vesla Yamim. Vyesh Omrim Shadino Kaves Shatira Aide Mikra Shabagufa the Kavas also. Afilu below yamim shavim. Okay. So the Ramah quotes is a yesh omrim v'yesh omrim. If you take a look, I believe in Rabbi Morgenstern Sefer, he quotes a long list of marmakomos. What do you do in klali apsak if you have yesh omrim v'yesh omrim? You know what a stam yesh omrim is. We know Stam Stam. What about a Yesh Omer v'Yesh Omer? So that's not clear because Mar Mekomos on both sides of that. How are you supposed to pass in a Yesh Omer v'Yesh Omer? Take a look at the Rebbe Kiveger here in his chidushim on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, achlo shum v'rasa. Shuto nira didavka b'chi agavna, kevan d'rasa v'gimel minim charifim. So the case of the Ramah is a case where there are three different achilos of three different dvarim charifim. Avalam achlo gimel pamim shum, kavar achlo shum. So if you eat three different dvarim charifim at three different times and induces three different re'ios, then you've been kovei aves l'achilos dvarim charifim, whatever those dvarim charifim are. But let's say you only ate shum 3 months in a row, and the shum precipitated or was followed by re'ia. So then you've only been kovei aves l'achilos shum and not l'achilos dvarim charifim in general. Kamo b'shor muad, d'shor chamor gamal, havimu l'kol. That's Bava Kama Lamed Zayin. That if a shor is nogeach three different animals, so that shor becomes a shor muad for any animal. Aval benagach shor gimel pamim havi muad rak l'shvarim. So if a shor is nogeach three shvarim, then the shor is only a muad l'shvarim. If the shor is nogeach a shor chamor and gamal, then the shor becomes muad for everything. So here too. That if you eat, sounds like in the Ramah, if you eat three dvarim charifim, you become a muad for all dvarim charifim. If you only eat one, then you become a muad only for that one. Or you establish a vest only for that one. In kema meila, gamba achla beis pa'amim shum v'rasa v'achla batzel v'rasa d'lohu b'klal. So then it would follow, says Ukivager. So if you ate shum three times, you established a vest for achila shum. If you ate three different dvarim charifim, you've established a vest for dvarim charifim. What happens if you eat shum and batzel? Then you haven't been kovei anything. To be kovei a vest just for shum, you have to have shum three times. To be kovei a vest for dvarim charifim, you have to have three different dvarim charifim. So if you had two and one, you're kareich mikan mikan. You haven't established either vest. Lefisa kashali damashma demachalkim bein vest aguf. De'ein echa kavua yidei chaveiro, aval b'dvarim charifim mitzarfim kulam, v'imkein amai nakat in piyaka pam achas v'nis'asha beis pa'amim, achi agavna gam b'achilas dvarim charifim lo havikvias kanal, havalei l'minka piyaka pam achas v'nis'asha v'rasa v'rosha v'rakavedim ala v'rasa davigim l'yanam shon. So the mechaber, what was the mechaber's case? Piyaka pam achas v'nis acha shtei pa'amim ein mitzarfin. So the mechaber, presumably, the fact that the mechaber omits a din of vest achilos should stand up, should create a contrast between a vest l'achilos and a vest and a regular vest aguf. So if that's the case, actually, let's say it this way. For the Ramah that has a din of a ves l'achilos, it sounds like there's a contrast set up between the din of ves taguf, the regular ves taguf, and the ves l'achilos. It says here, Kiveger, that if you wanted to set up that contrast, then why do you start out with the case of piyaka pam achas v'nis acha beis pamim? In that case, there is no contrast between a regular vest aguf and a vest l'achilos. If you wanted to establish a contrast, you should have spoken about a case of three different vestos aguf. And if you have different vestos aguf, it doesn't create a vest kavua. If you have three different vest achilas, it does create a vest kavua. That's a Gevager's question. In the Badi of Shulchan here in the Beyurim, he points out that there's a ra'ah in the Shita Mikabetzas in Bava Kama, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph Dibur Maskel Nasa, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph Dibur Maskel Nasa. As Mavur from the Ra'ah there, now like Yerikiv Eger. the other writes beferish that if you have a shore that's nogeach two shvarim and a chamor, or two chamorim and a shore, so then it becomes a muad for shvarim and chamorim. And it's beforeish in the Gemara that if a shore is nogeach three different animals, then you create a kvias for all animals. It's mefurash that if a shor is nogeach only shvarim, you only created a nach on the shvarim, a shor mu l'shvarim. The Gemara doesn't discuss the case of two and one. So Rikiv Eger here assumes it's davar pashut, then two and one does not create a kvias. But there are other actually writes that two and one does create a kvias. And according to that, the din here as well would be that if you had Bitzalim twice and Shem once, then you would create a Ves Kavua L'Achilas. Okay, so let's look back now on Samach Gimel Amud Beis and the next Mishnah. Mishnah writes Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Haisa Lemuda Lios Roa Betchila Savesta. So if a woman is used to seeing dam at the beginning of her vest, Kolataros Shasus Abesocha Vestos Timaeus. Says Rashi, Besocha Vestos, the Vestos, the Gufa Kamar. We're talking about a Vest Haguf. So this is the Hemshech of the Mishan Amud Aleph, which is talking about a Vest Haguf. The Rashi tells us this is talking about a Vest Haguf as well, that in the context of Taros, if a woman always sees Dam at the beginning of her vest, meaning a woman has a Vest Haguf, she sees Dam right away upon the onset of that symptom. Then she has to assume that she is Tamea from that point on, and any Taros that she touches from that point on are going to be Tameas. The Sofa Vestos, if she sees Dam at the end of the vest, Kola Taros, Chasusa Besocha Vestos, Taharos. So then she only has to be concerned about the Taurus that she sees later on, but the Taurus earlier are not of concern. Okay, so this is the basis of the next din here in Shulchan Aruch in Sif Kaf Dalet. The Kulam Ein Choshesh in Lahem Ella L'Shaita. Ketzad, Haisa Regila Liros im Haskalas Avest, Miyad. So if a woman sees Dam at the onset of the Vest Aguf, Asura Kozman im Shachas Avest. So then she's going to be Asura from that immediate point and onwards. However, Haisa Regila Liros Bisofo, if she only sees Dam at the end of the Vest, Ein Asura Ella Bisofo, then she's only going to be Asura at the end of the Vest. Medvar Mamurim Bisman Shakal Hariya Muvlas Besocha Vest. Now that's talking about where the entire Riyah is contained within the range of that vest. Avalam Ein Kol Riyah Muvlas Besocha Vest. Elanim Shachas Gamacher Vest. Asura Mitchila Savest Adsof Onachas. That's a Rashba and a Rivet. So three possible scenarios. If a woman has a vest aguf, let's say she experiences yawning for 8 hours, typically. So if the woman expects to see Dam immediately within the first hour of the onset of the yawning, so then she becomes Asura, or she's Koshesh's rather, the din of Prisha and Bedika sets in at the onset of that vest. If she only sees, she'll never see Dam before 6 hours into the yawning. and she yawns for 8 hours. So then she's going to be choshashes for the yom avest or the onus avest between hour 6 and hour 8. And the third scenario that Rishonim talk about, which is not before in the Gemara, is that if the Re'iyah continues past the end of these symptoms, past the end of the Vestigov, she sees for 8 hours, but then the Re'iyah could take place after the 8 hours. So then the onus of vest of relevance is going to extend into beyond the end of the Vestigov. But since there's no, there's nothing to pin the onus of vest on as far as the Vestigov anymore, then you default to our regular calculation of an onus of vest, which is based on an ona, and she's going to be a sura the following ona, be it the day ona or the night ona. And if you look at the Shach, he quotes here in the Beis Yosef that even if the vest could be nimshach beyond a single ona, but as far as this didn't appreciate samach levest, it's only for that initial ona after the end of the symptoms. Okay. Oh, there's one. I forgot to mention a Chavis Das on the previous Sif on Vestachilos. Piskei Shuva quotes here in Sif Katan Kavav, but it's a Chavis Das in Sif Katan Kavtes. We'll see it in the Piskei Shuva if you have that in front of you. Kavav Chavis Das Mikol Makom Im Achla Shar Dvarim Chamim Gimel Pa'amim Velo Rasa. So let's say you have this woman that established a Vest Lachilos by eating three different dvarim charifim at three different times. And then in subsequent months, she ate other dvarim charifim, not the ones that she had eaten previously, and there was no subsequent re'iyah. Lo nekar vesta me'achilas shum u'besal u'pilplin. So even though the eating of the three different dvarim charifim established a vest kavul, the dvarim charifim, if she continues to eat other dvarim charifim that doesn't precipitate a riyah, that's not ochre the vest for shum b'tzalim u'pilplin. Avalam achla shum gimel pa'amim v'lo rasa nekar vest nikala dvarim. But if she ate shum, which is one of the original three culprits, three times without a riyah, then she's ochre that entire vest of dvarim charifim. Kevin de nekar min echad. Since the original vest kavu was established by eating three different specific dvarim charifim, if she eats one of those dvarim charifim three times in 3 months without a re'iyah, then that's ochre the entire vest. Okay, and Sif Kafav, we already touched on, that's just a din, that we're choshesh for Vesta Guf even as a Vesta Eino Kavua. So that was the underpinning of everything we said till now, but it's just spelled out here in Sif Kafav. Sif Kaf Zayin is a din of Tinokas Shelo Igiyas Manaliros, which is not terribly Lamaisa. Sif Kaf Ches, we discussed already in the past, the din of a Zakena Mesulekas Damim. So that's through Sif Lamed Aleph. And then Sif Lamed Gimel is the din of Uberus, which we discussed already. Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalid. And that takes us to the end of Simen Kuf Kaf Tes. Actually, one shiur ahead of schedule. So technically speaking, that concludes the official Chomer of the Limud that we were supposed to cover this year. And we do have one more Bechina left. If you're interested, I could give another shiur on Wednesday on contraceptives. Is that covered? Rabbi Will used to give a contemporary halach on that. Does he still? Or does someone?
He did this year.
He did? Okay, so then that's covered. If there's anything else specific that you want us to discuss, we can. Otherwise, we can just break and start Chazar now for the Bechina, but I'll leave that up to you.
I don't know if... Go ahead.